I don't know if you've seen these, but the aerial shots from over the obliterated community of West Texas really tell the tale of a conflagration and a disaster that is almost beyond comprehension. Last week's explosion of a fertilizer plant has killed 14 people by the latest count, 200 injured. This week, the rebuilding and sense of shock is settling in this small community of West Texas. Joining us now from there, Lauren Silverman, reporter for KERA in Dallas. Lauren, this is a small town. Everybody knows someone who was directly affected, yes?
Yes, that's definitely the case here. This town is extremely tight-knit, and if you talk to one person, they will tell you that they either have a sister or an aunt or even a child who has been affected by this accident.
One of the stories that came out over the weekend is that most of the dead were first responders actually in training.
Yeah, that is the case. Out of the 14 who were killed, there were, I believe, four who were medics and five who were firefighters. And in a town like this, a lot of the firefighters are actually volunteers. So they work in the city, they have other jobs, and they are not full-time firefighters, which means they may not have the training that we typically associate with firefighters in other bigger cities.
What is the sense of the alarm, the idea that we had no idea we were living under this shadow of danger?
Well, survivors have talked about being quite angry that there was this lack of safety enforcement and that there weren't warnings about the danger that the plant presented, in addition to concerns over zoning. I mean, there was a middle school right across from where the plant was that was completely destroyed. Students who are supposed to go to that middle school are going to be bused to a neighboring district to attend a school that hasn't even been in use. So the residents are very upset that there was no safety warning, and they're really trying to first piece together what happened and mostly focusing on just trying to get their lives together, though, right now.
Was the owner of this plant a member of the community, or was this the kind of thing where an industrial facility owned by someone far, far away resulted in this horrible disaster? Is there even a way of knowing that today?
The owner is actually, I believe, a member of the community. He hasn't spoken out very much since what happened, but he did release a statement expressing his concerns. And one of the people who died was an employee of the company.
Lauren, before we go, you've spent days there in West since this disaster and explosion. Can you give me a sense of what it would be like to walk through the community, to go down a street and to see what it is that you've seen?
Well, they aren't allowing reporters to get near the site of the crater. They have identified, they say, the seat or the origin of the explosion, and no one is allowed near that. So from what you can tell, you are only able to see aerial photos and pictures of mangled rubble and structures that have been completely destroyed. But from the people who have been back to their homes, they say that there are shattered windows, doors broken in, and pretty much everything gone. Now, on the outskirts of the city, it seems business as usual. The Check Stop, which is a small bakery people know passing through from Dallas to Austin, is still selling their kolaches. They're still packed and getting, you know, a place to get free, very cheap coffee. But on the inside, we still haven't been able to get close to the site of the disaster.
And on the inside of the people you talk to, the emotional wreckage is very clear.
Yes, yesterday I went to church services and they were packed. You would never be able to tell that this town was only less than 3,000 people by the number that turned out yesterday. I went to the First Baptist church services and they were actually held outside in a hayfield because the First Baptist building is in an area that hasn't been secured. So that was quite a thrill, but people were still both grieving and singing and celebrating that at least they were safe.
Lauren Silverman, reporter for KERA in Dallas, Texas, on the line from West Texas, the scene of the explosion of that fertilizer plant last week. Lauren, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.